Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Knowing that our God is greater than any circumstance, any challenge, any problem that faces our way. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. I greet you with the words of our brothers and sisters from South Africa, Ubabala, Nicola, Lubanani, Quinkosi, Uyesa Krista. That means grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give the Lord a great big hand for our worship team in Macedonia and all those that have participated in worship this morning. I bring you greetings from Chosen 300 Ministries here and around the world in Guyana, Jamaica, India, Nigeria, South Africa, and the United States. I want to thank God for the Upper Dublin Evangelical Lutheran Church. Let's give them a great big hand. Amen. You know, they were the third church to ever become part of our program, and I remember the first day that they came down just to check it out. We were at 16th and the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, and the police department showed up. And so we gathered around in prayer. Pastor Al Douglas was there, and Pastor Kwan from Bethlehem, and we gathered together in a circle and prayed, and Shande got on the phone, and even after the police being there, being threatened to be arrested, they still decided to join our program and be able to serve Jesus. So I want to thank God for them. And they've been in for 13 years. And now there's 72 churches that works together with Chosen 300 to provide over 90,000 meals a year to the homeless of Philadelphia. We also have sites in West Philadelphia now and Pottstown. And now there's 13 locations around the world, 7 in Guyana, 2 in South Africa, 3 in Nigeria, 1 in Jamaica, and an orphanage for 390 children that are helping people escape child prostitution and work in rice paddy fields or being killed and sold for their body parts, and lives are being changed. More than 20,000 pounds of food are going around the world every single month, and we praise God for that. Before I get into the Word of God, there's two presentations that I really want to make this morning. First of all, we thank God for Upper Dublin Lutheran Church. They didn't charge us a dime to come in here. They just said, our doors are open to you, and this is really the welcome place. But we just want to be a blessing to you in some way. And so this morning, Chosen 300, we just want to sow a gift into your church, because 10% of everything that comes into our ministry, we sow out, and we believe that in the Levitical tithe, because we cannot be a Christian ministry and not tithe. So we want to take $1,000 and sow it into the life of the Upper Dublin Lutheran Church in any way that you see fit. That was Pastor Al Douglas, and Pastor Diane, where is she? There she is back there. She's the cheerleader in the back. The second presentation, every year we try to recognize somebody that has really gone beyond the call of duty, that's kind of always there and is a blessing to our ministry. And there's an award that we have is called the Neighbor of the Year Award. And I'm going to start talking about this person, and they're going to know exactly who they are. I remember when she first came, she worked for the prison. And she's kind of rough around the edges. She was rough around the edges and really was a challenge, a real challenge. And I had to calm her down. And I said, Diane, you're not working in the prison. And I had to help her with that. And she learned to just really embrace the love of Christ and has been kind to us. And even yesterday, she was down in the kitchen cooking. And so this year, we have an award for her. It's called the Neighbor Award. Sister Diane Glover, why don't you come on up? The plaque reads like this: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Then the lawyer said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? The Neighbor of the Year Award presented to Diane Glover for having compassion on the homeless of Philadelphia. Chosen 300 Ministries, Brian C. Jenkins, Executive Director, Shande Moore, Corporate Secretary. All right. Now, it is 10 of 10. This is a Lutheran church. And I got to preach. All right, so let's just get right to it. Let us pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I've studied, but I need your strength. I've prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but Lord, I need your help. Lord, forgive me of my sins and consecrate me for thy service. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Amen. I want to thank God for the reading of the word found in John, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 19. I'm not going to read it again, but it was read by Pastor Al Douglas, and we want to thank him for that. This morning, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Okay, now, I have Chosen 300 with me, so I know y'all talk loud. The Lutherans, well, I got to work on them. But do me a favor. Just turn to your neighbor and act like they have your money this morning, okay? Just say, neighbor, he prays for us. Come on, get the other neighbor. Make sure they understand the message. Say, neighbor, he prays for us. When I was growing up, there was a song by Dorothy Norwood, a gospel recording artist, and the song said, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, and took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed and took the time to pray. I'm so glad they prayed for me. The song continued to identify the persons or people who had prayed for them. And it started out by saying, my mother prayed for me. You know, I remember growing up, my brothers were older than me, and they often would sneak in late from the party. But my mama, she was on her knees praying for my brothers. She had to pray as hard for me. I was pretty good. But she prayed for me, too. But the song continues. My father prayed for me. The preacher, the pastor, the deacon prayed for me. But then the song takes a transition and identifies one more person. It says, and Jesus prayed for me. You know, I would listen to that song over and over, and I could understand the people praying for me that were close to me, but the idea that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would take time to specifically pray for me was mind-boggling, that he would give special attention to me. We'll get back to that in a little bit, but in our text in John, the 17th chapter, it begins in verses 1 through 5, dealing with Jesus praying for himself. He is speaking to the Father that the hour has come for him to be glorified. Now, if we can just unpack this very quickly, the understanding about Jesus' glorification deals with the resurrection. So therefore, he was really saying in a package plan that it's time for me to die, it's time for me to be buried, and it's time for me to get up from the grave so that I can be glorified. In verses 2 to 3, it says that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given him. And this is life eternal, that we may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So therefore, the reason for his glorification, the reason for his death, burial, and his resurrection is for the purpose of us having eternal life. Somebody say eternal life. I want to let you know today that the reason why Jesus came into the world was not to declare his glory, was not to declare how wonderful he is, but the reason why he came was that you can have eternal life. And the only way that you can be glorified with him, the only way that you can have everlasting life is that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you want eternal life? Turn to the other neighbor and say, neighbor, you need to be saved. That is the only way that you get eternal life is by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. In verse 4, he verifies that the time of his glorification has come. It says, because I have glorified thee on earth and I have finished the work. I have finished the work. It's ironic because when you read in the 19th chapter, in the 30th verse, Jesus is on the cross, and he says, it is finished. But here in 17:4, he says, I have finished.
Here it says, I have finished, but in 1930 it says, it is finished. There is a significant difference between what he is saying here and what he says in verse 19, chapter 19 and verse 30. In this text, the Bible is saying that I have finished all the work that God the Father has assigned to me. But later in 1930, he says it is finished, meaning that his passive work now is also completed. All the things that had to be done to him. He had to have a crown of thorn on his heads. He had to have a spear in his side. He had to have nails in his hands. And he says it is finished. But now he is saying, I have finished the work. I have completed everything that you told me to do, and it's time for me to be glorified. Well, the text transitions here. He stops praying for himself, but then he begins to pray for us. Somebody say us. You know, it's very interesting, this word us. To think of the idea that Jesus would be prejudiced is just weird. But Jesus really indicates that he's praying for a particular people. Somebody's getting scared right now. But he's praying for a particular people. When you read verse 9 of the 17th chapter, he says, I pray for them. Somebody say them. Somebody say that means us. That means us. We acknowledge that Jesus is praying for someone specific, and he's praying for those that believe on him. In this first part, he is praying for his disciples. He later, in the next text, he prays for those that believes on him. It's very interesting, the idea that Jesus prays for those who believes on him. Yes, I believe the scripture that says that rain falls upon the just as well as the unjust. Yes, the sun shines upon the righteous and the unrighteous. Everybody gets those blessings. But when you are connected to Jesus Christ, when you have given him your life, God gives you some special attention. You're going to get it in a second. Brother Dexter, he is my chief of staff downtown, and you might have experienced this at Chosen 300. Oftentimes when he preaches, his daughter comes and sings. And one morning, he has a 17-year-old daughter that has a beautiful voice, beautiful, attractive young lady, and she stood up and sang. And one day when she sang, one of the guys in the back said, hey, baby, Dexter stood up in his flex muscles and said, man, you say that again, you're going to get out of here. Now, anybody else would have said it. He would say, yeah, man, come on, you just can't say that. You can't say it. But his daughter was up there. And because his daughter was up there, it was special attention was given to her because of the relationship. I want to let you know, because you have a relationship with Jesus, because you have accepted him in your life, you are a child of the Most High God, the child of the Most High King, and God gives you special attention. Just turn to your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, if you believe on him, you get special attention. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 33 and 34, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even on the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Everybody just pound yourself on the chest and say us. But he prays for us. I'm so glad that Jesus prays for us. Well, I got about 3 minutes, so let me just really unpack 4 quick points of what he prays for us. The first one is found in verse 11. You know, that was the introduction. In the Baptist sermon, you know, we would go another 20 minutes, but anyway, verse 11, it says that they may be as one. That they may be as one. You know, I mentioned earlier that Jesus is a little prejudicial in his prayer. He's not prejudicial in the terms like we understand it. He's prejudicial in the point that he prays for those that believe on him. But when he says this, that we would be as one, meaning that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are identified as my brother. You are identified as my sister. It does not matter how old you are, how young you are, how skinny you are, or how not so skinny you are. That was the best way I could put that. How much hair you have on your head, or how bald you are in the back, like my brother Byron. It does not matter how black you are, how white you are, how Asian you are, how Hispanic you are, but if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are my brother, you are my sister, and the relationship that we have is greater than any other membership group that this world has to offer. You know, oftentimes Temple University comes down to serve at the center, and I get excited because I'm Temple alumni. And you know, I sit there and stand up there, and Temple comes in, and you know what I do? To you, because I recognize that I'm from Temple University. But one day I got challenged by that because I began to give more credit to being a Temple alumni than my relationship that I would have had with Jesus. So when everybody came in the center that was part of Jesus Christ, I'd have said, JC, because Jesus Christ's family was in the house. And we have to get to the point that our relationship with Jesus is more important of the church that we go to. Our relationship with Jesus is bigger than our denomination. Our relationship with Jesus is bigger than our social club. But because you love Jesus, Jesus is praying that we would be as one. Well, there's three more things. It says that we would experience his completed joy to them. That we would experience his completed joy in them, in us. That means God wants us to have joy. You know, I got a little challenged by this because oftentimes as you go through difficulties, as you go through challenges and problems, you don't feel too happy. But you know what? God never promised you happiness. What he promised you was joy. Joy is better than happiness because joy is not based upon how things are going on around you. Joy is that you can smile in the midst of a storm. Joy is that you can smile when problems are all around you. The songwriter said it like this: I still got joy, I still got joy after all that I've been through. I still got joy. Yeah, hell and high water might be all around me, but I can still bless his name because Jesus is in me. So Jesus prays that we would have complete joy in our lives. The third thing is that we would be kept from the evil. If you have the Bible that you own and you own it, do me a favor, underline the word the, because a lot of times we skip over the word love, the, and think that God is going to keep us from evil. He says, no, he's going to keep us from the evil. The Message Bible points it out this way. He says he will keep you from the evil one, meaning he will prevent the evil one from consuming you. Job knows about this. See, Job, the enemy went before the Lord and said, and the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? He says, look, you can afflict him with sickness. You can afflict him and take away all of his stuff, but you can't touch his soul. And so when Jesus was praying, he was praying that we would be kept from the consuming of the evil one, that he will not consume. Yes, problems might come. Challenges might come. Matter of fact, the Bible says that in this life you will have tribulation. You will have hunger. You will have challenges. You will have problems. He says, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And as long as Jesus is in your life, he's praying that the Father will keep you from the evil one. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, what's the fourth thing? The very last thing is that we would be sanctified through thy truth. That we would be sanctified through our truth. Somebody say sanctified. We're in a Lutheran church and we're saying sanctified. Somebody say sanctified.
Sanctified.
You know, the sanctified holiness church has determined that they have a monopoly on this word sanctified. But sanctified is a way of life that we live. We proceed towards righteousness through sanctification. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And then we are sanctified through the truth. You know, Dr. Alan Waller helped me with this. He says, have you ever been to a hibachi house? You know, where they flip up the shrimp? Have you ever been there? I know you've been there. You've been there. Where they, you know, they cook on the grill right in front of you, and they have all this food, and they cook fish, and they cook lobster, or whatever they're cooking, and vegetables. They'll cook it all out on the grill. But then they take these shrimp, and they move them over to the side, and they separate them for the rest of the food. The other food goes on your plate, but these shrimp are set aside for a particular purpose. You're going to get it in a second. See, these shrimp are so that you can flip them and you would, there you go. And you would flip them and you would go, you got it. Okay, good. Now, when you are set aside and sanctified, that means that God wants to use you for a particular purpose. Every last one of you that God has called, he has saved you, but he has not saved you to sit around. He saved you for a particular purpose that you might be sanctified through his truth. David said it like this. He says, I will make his word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathways. That my heart is word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Jesus prays for you. Put your hands together and praise God for his word.
Amen. Thank you, Brian.